He may be surprised that I am here, but I have been present on several occasions, when his soulmate and his mother and your wife have written to him, and have observed the effect upon him of the communications as given and received. While his soulmate is with him so very much, and is closer to him than any of us, yet his mother and I have a great interest in him and love him very much. I am his guardian angel and have looked after him ever since I entered the spirit world and became imposed with the duty of looking after him. I only wish to tell him this tonight. I am very happy and am in the fifth sphere and expect to soon get into the seventh sphere where his mother is, but I am afraid that before I do so, she will leave for the celestial and so I will have to strive again to reach her. I have nothing further now to say tonight. Well, his brother is in the condition that his mother told him, and is suffering a great deal, but he will soon see the light and get relief. Some of your band who seem to love his mother so much are working with him, and he seems to be interested in them, and believe that they are really trying to help him. I would prefer if he wait until I come again, as this is my first attempt at writing, and I want to be in condition to answer any question that he may ask without confusion. So tell him that I will come again and will be willing to answer his questions. So, bidding you good night, I will leave you both my love and best wishes, William Stone. November 19, 1915. I am here, Helen. I signaled you, and wanted merely to say that I have been reading with you the pamphlet, and want to tell you that it is not true. It is all wrong and misleading and will never save a soul from sin. The writer is so filled with the idea that God commanded the observance of the seventh day as the Sabbath, that he, the writer, can see nothing in all the Bible that is of such great importance as the keeping of the Sabbath. The Sabbath, as a religious institution, is not of more importance than any other day, and the man who believes that by observing this Sabbath day can reach that condition of soul development which will fit him for an entrance into the divine kingdom will, when he comes to the spirit world, find himself much disappointed. The keeping of this day as these people teach, or of any other day, will not develop their soul qualities or make them one with the Father, or even give them a great development of the natural love, for the doing or refraining to do those things which the commandment, which is the basis of their belief, directs to be done or not done, will only benefit them if they will try to get into attunement with the soul requirements which are necessary in order to become partakers of the divine love. So do not let the thoughts or arguments of this pamphlet influence you in any way as regards the essentials to a correct understanding of the plans of God for the salvation of mankind. As Jesus has told you, he will not come to earth with a shout surrounded by his angels, and catch up into the heavens these Adventists, or any other human beings, but he will come and is now coming into the souls of men, through his 262, the Paget Messages 1915, teachings the workings of the Holy Spirit and in no other way. He is not the God of wrath and judgment that they teach, but merely the true Son of his Father, and comes to all men in love and sympathy, and with the great desire that men shall turn away from their evil thoughts and seek the love and mercy of the Father. I felt that I wanted to write you this, as I realize what great errors are contained in that pamphlet, and men may be led to believe these errors. While you may read such literature, do not let it for one moment cause you to turn your thoughts away from the pure and true teachings of the Master, for if you, or any other man, should base your salvation on what is taught in such writings, you will be deceived, and when you come to the spirit world you will be greatly disappointed in not finding what such writings may lead you to expect. I must not write more now, as you are not in condition to write further. Your own true and loving, Helen. November 20, 1915. Let me write, John G. Carlyle. I merely want to say that I need help so much. I am suffering so very much and in such darkness, and I can find no relief from my condition. So please tell me if you can help me. Some spirits here say that you have helped others and I want help if it can be found. It is not necessary for me to tell you who I am, or what I did on earth for you, as many others in Washington, knew just what kind of life I led when I lived in that city, as I was a prominent man and my actions were watched and known by a great many. Suffice it to say that I am now paying the penalties for my evil life, and I am in torture and such intense darkness, and don't know the way to relief if there is any for me. I want you to help me, and if you can and will do so, I will never forget you. I will come and claim your promise, and if you can succeed I will be everlastingly obliged. Yes, I have seen him, Cleveland, on several occasions and have talked with him, but he seems to be in a better condition than I am for some reason that I don't understand. We were very much alike in certain particulars when on Earth, but he seems to have found some means by which he is enabled to live in a brighter state than I do. No, I have never met Mr. Riddle and don't know that he is in the spirit world, but from what you say I suppose he is. But why do you ask? You know that I knew a great many of the public men, and so very many better than I knew Riddle, and hence I am a little anxious to know why you ask me if I have seen him. Well, you make me anxious to meet him, and should I do so, I will remember what you say. Well, I have looked, and I see some beautiful spirits, but I don't know any to them. I have asked who they are, and one says she is your wife, and what a beautiful spirit she is, and how good and loving her appearance. I wonder why she is of such beauty. I have asked her, and she says she will try and has left me. Well, he is here and how surprised I am, for he is beautiful and bright, too, and seems to have so much love about him. What is the cause of all this wonderful beauty and brightness? Well, he has spoken to me, and tells me that he is glad to see me, and that he is willing and anxious to help me out of my darkness, and wants me to go with him for a talk, and I am going. I will try to do as you say, and will certainly make every effort to understand this great mystery. So my friend, I must leave you, but in doing so I want to express to you my gratitude for what you have done, and for your kind thoughts. So believe me when I say that I am very grateful. Goodbye, your friend, John G. Carlyle. I am here, Helen. I called you because when the spirit who wrote came he was in such a very bad and suffering condition and begged so piteously to write that I thought it would be doing a great act of love and mercy to let him write. He is a very ugly and dark and deformed spirit in his appearance, and while a man of great intellect, yet his soul is almost in a condition of death. That is, it has no conscious life, for it was literally starved and was not capable of seeing or feeling any of the higher or better impulses. So when he came and said that he needed help so much, we let him write. He is now with Mr. Riddle, and I hope that he may find some light and relief, though I fear that he will have a struggle to believe what may be told him, for as you may know, when the soul becomes all shrunken and dead, it is hard for the intellect to believe anything which pertains to the awakening of the soul. But everything is possible with God and this man is not beyond redemption. 263, the Paget Messages 1915. I believe, though, that he will have a long course of soul development before he will see the light and realize that his sufferings are leaving him. He must have been a very wicked man on earth, for he has about him all the traces and evidences of a very abandoned and wicked life. Their sins do follow them, saith the Lord, and I may add, stay with them until the great law of compensation has been complied with, or the greater law of divine love has supplanted it. You must not write more now. So goodbye, your own true and loving, Helen. November 21, 1915. I am here, your old Professor Salyards. I merely want to say that I am very happy, and want you to know that I am progressing in my condition of soul development and in my knowledge of the truths that pertain to the spirit world. I have not written you for a long time, and would like to tell you of certain truths that I have learned since last I wrote you. Well, I find that I am now in a condition of soul development that enables me to see the truth of what the Master has told us in reference to the real existence of God, who knows what his creatures are doing and in what way they are making use of their souls and bodies. I mean that this God is one having all the faculties that you would suppose only a being would have who had a personality and form, but can hardly understand how a mere essence or formless existence could have such powers and qualities. I never, until recently, could comprehend the real truth and meaning of God, believing him to be mere essence, void of form or personality, who could have the wisdom and love and power that I was taught such God possessed. Such comprehension is beyond the finite mind, and can only be accepted as a realization of an existing condition or truth by means of faith. Yet now I have more than faith to enable me to understand the fact that this God, whom we call our Father, for he is, has all these qualities and powers, and such understanding is to me a wonderful and unexpected addition to my knowledge of God. This understanding, of course, is not a thing that arises from any exercise of the mind, or the result of any mental power or quality which I may never have realized that I possessed, but is the result of the exercise of my soul perceptions, which have become so great and in such condition of unison or harmony with our Father's qualities of 264, soul that he and all these attributes appear to me as real, perceptible existences, having a certainty of comprehensible being, as do the existence of spirits and their attributes. So you see what soul development may mean and what its possibilities are. No mere development of the intellectual qualities or attributes could ever lead to a comprehension of the personality of God as I have described it. I never in all my life, natural or spiritual, conceived or expected that it were possible for any soul of mortal or spirit to see God as I now see him, and I never could understand what was meant by the beatitude, "The pure in heart shall see God," except in this sense, that as we became pure in heart those qualities that were ascribed to God would become a part of us, and as such possessors, we could see God, or rather the result of those attributes of God in our souls. I don't know whether you can fully comprehend what I intend to convey to you, but I have tried my best to put the idea in such language that your mind may understand, to some extent, what my meaning is. I know that you will never fully know what this great soul perception is, until you have experienced what this development is in your own soul, which is necessary to enable it to see with the clearness that I now see. I thought that I would tell you of this progress of my soul, so that you might have some faint idea of what the development of the soul means in a way other than an addition to the development of the love principle. But really all phases of its development are part of or dependent upon and resultant from the development of this love principle, for divine love is the fulfilling of the law, and law includes that which enables us to perceive that God is a personality, having these qualities that I speak of. I see that I have written enough for tonight, and if you will carefully read what I have written, you will find much food for thought, and probably some help to a correct, concrete comprehension of who and what God is. So expressing to you my gratification and pleasure in being able to come to you again and having you take down my ideas of who our Father is, and also for the opportunity to declare that God is a being, having an existence of his own, comprehensible by the soul perceptions of the redeemed of his creatures, I will say, good night. Your old professor and brother in Christ, Joseph H. Salyards. The Paget Messages 1915. I am here, Saint Stephen. I want to say only a word. At the time of my martyrdom I saw the heavens opened and the spirits of the just made perfect, so now I can by my soul perceptions see my God as a real personal being, full of love and mercy. Let no man rest in the assurance that God is only a formless spirit, without the attributes or seeing and hearing and knowing what the thoughts and deeds of men and spirits are, for if he does, in the time of accounting, he will be deceived in his false security. I am in a condition of soul development to know the great truth that God is a God of real personality, and when I say this I don't mean individuality in the sense that you are an individual. But what I mean by personality is that all these attributes of love and power and knowledge and mercy do not constitute God, but are merely a part of his being and flow from him in their operations upon men, and in fact upon all the things of the universe. I will not enlarge upon this truth, as it has been explained by those who preceded me, but I will say this, that because a man with a finite mind cannot understand this truth, it by no means follows that it is not a truth, for it is, and in the great future every man who has received the necessary soul development will learn and know this truth. I will not write more tonight, but it will say to you, continue to seek this great development of your soul, and you will not be disappointed in coming to the realization that God is our Father of the Master, the close personal and loving Father. With all my love I will say good night, your brother in Christ, Stephen. November 22, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I have heard what the professor said to you and you must try your best to comprehend its meaning, for it contains a description of the true conception of God in a way that only one having the developed soul perceptions could explain. The only difficulty in the way of your fully understanding this idea of who and what God is that the idea is not one that a mere mind can grasp, for only the soul that has been developed to a sufficient degree can comprehend. But yet, you may be able to conceive of its meaning to an extent that will enable you to get closer to our Father as a real, personal Father, and not as a being of formless existence only. I-265 mean that the idea of personality may bring the Father nearer to you, so that you may realize a deeper meaning of His love and care and mercy and interest in you and in all His creatures. In my message on God, you will find that the idea of personality is spoken of, but not emphasized so much as in the writing of the professor. But the truth is that our Father is, to the soul perceptions, a being of real existence and personality. I know how difficult it is for the mind to conceive, even in a faint way, how such a personality can be a part of a being who is declared to be a mere spirit without form or limitation, and everywhere at the same time. But I tell you that it is a truth that by the soul's faculties is comprehensible the personal attributes of the Father. Of course, men will not understand this truth so long as they depend upon the mere intellect to comprehend it, and to them it may not mean much, but it is of the greatest importance to mankind, both in their lives on earth and in the spirit world. Thou, God sayest me, is not a mere meaningless generality which men repeat and do not understand. For God does see every act of man, and as I said, when on earth, not even a sparrow falls without my Father knowing it, and the hairs of your head are all that numbered. So if men will only learn that this great truth is of such importance, they will take more care of the manner in which they live their lives. As I was saying, men must realize that God knows not only their acts but their thoughts, and every idle thought will have to be accounted for, and the penalties which His laws impose will have to be paid. So, if men would only realize this fact, of God's being able to see and know what their lives on earth are, they would many times, think before they do some things which they do, supposing that no one but themselves know of them. I am very glad that the professor wrote to you on this subject, for it is one that is very important in our plan of revealing the truths of God and His attributes. Very soon I will write you another message, and one that will be very important to mankind. I will come again soon, and tell you of some things that you must learn. So with all my love and blessings, I am, your own brother and friend, Jesus, the Paget Messages 1915. I am here, St. Luke. I want to add my testimony to that of Professor Salyard's as to who and what is God. Of course, since the Master has substantiated what the Professor wrote and enlarged on it, my testimony is not necessary, yet, I desire to say a few words which are expressive of my knowledge arising from my own experience. I have a soul development which is greater than that of the Professor, and a perception which is clearer and more convincing than his, and yet, what he has said is all that I can say as to the truth of the personality of God, except that to me it is undoubtedly much clearer and of longer acquaintance. I know that God is a being that has personality, though not a form like unto man, but has all the attributes that have been mentioned. These attributes are not God, but merely qualities which He possesses, and which in their workings upon the hearts and souls of men emanate and flow from Him. You may better understand this if I call your attention to the fact that while you can see and feel and hear and love and dislike, yet these attributes or qualities are not you, but only those things that belong to your personality. You may be deprived of any or all of them, and yet you may not cease to exist as a personality. And so with God, while these things of love and wisdom, and loving and hearing do not constitute God, yet they are a part of Him and are exercised by Him, just as the qualities I have mentioned are exercised by you. I know it is difficult for the mere mind to comprehend this great truth of God having a personality, yet it is a truth, and just as real to the perceptions of the developed soul as is the existence of yours or any man's personality to the finite mind. And here is another fact in connection with this great truth, and that is that only the spirits who have experienced the new birth and become filled with the divine love of the Father, and hence a partaker of His divinity, will ever be able to perceive this great truth of the personality of God. No other spirit will ever receive that soul development which is absolutely necessary for it to possess in order to perceive the great truth under discussion. Yet the mere fact that these other spirits do not comprehend or understand this truth does not make it any the less a truth, and all men and spirits are subject to its operations, and must come under the benefits that they may receive by reason of the workings of this truth upon their lives and thoughts. Just because men cannot see God, it does not follow that He does not see them, for He does, and their every thought is known to Him and taken account of. And strange as it may seem to you, or as I should more appropriately say, surprising as it may seem to you, that account is kept in the memories and consciences of men themselves, and when the time comes for them to render an account of their acts and thoughts, no other place or receptacle is sought for or examined to find this account than these very memories and consciences, and nothing can be hidden or lost, until it has fulfilled the purpose of its existence. Men may create, but they cannot destroy. I refer now to their actions and their thoughts. While on earth they may forget and ease their consciences by forgetting, yet, when they come to the spirit world, and are called to render an account, the inexorable laws that are really their judges and executioners show them that there is no such thing as forgetting, and has been said, they have forgotten to forget. God is being, self-existing, unchangeable, but full of love and mercy, and these He does not exercise in any individual case, but has made certain that His laws of mercy will so operate that all the spirits of men and mortals also, may by their own acts and desires place themselves in such condition of soul, that these spirits will receive the benefit of this mercy. Yes, His mercy is from the beginning waiting for all men to ask for it and want it, just as is His love. I could write on this subject for a longer time, but I must not write more tonight as you are tired, so I will close. With all my love and blessings, I'm your brother in Christ, Luke. I am here, Kate Stone. Let me write a few words as I have not written you for a long time and in view of the fact that I have been present so often when other spirits have written and have never sought the opportunity to write. I feel that I am not intruding by sending a short message, especially as your wife says just go ahead and write as long as you feel inclined to do so. Well, I merely want to say that I have heard the conversation between you and my brother and have believed with interest to what he said about writing to my sisters and telling them some of the spiritual truths that have been written to him by our mother and others. I am with my sisters quite often and try to impress upon them but do not succeed very well. 266, The Paget Messages 1915. For the reason that mother has explained, and I am so much disappointed, for they need to know that I am with them and so much desire to get close to them and have them feel my influence. They are as Leslie says. They are very orthodox and are loath to believe anything that is not in accord with their understanding of the Bible teachings, and I realize the difficulty in convincing them or even opening up their minds to a reception of the truth that is so important for them to know. But I shall be with them when they receive his communication and will try to influence them so that they will at least give it a serious reading and if possible will open the way to a closer rapport. If they would believe one little bit that I was with them and let one longing for my presence flow to me, I would so much be encouraged in the hope that a possible rapport might be made with them. I love them so much and so want them to feel my love. Of course they would not consciously do so, yet they could have a feeling that I was with him with an influence such as love only brings. Tell him to not fail to write as he expressed his intentions of doing and to add to his letter that their Kate loves them with all the love that a redeemed child of the Father can and does possess, that they are so very dear to her and that her prayers are constantly ascending to the Father for their awakening to the truth and their happiness. I am so glad that I could write tonight and I thank you so much. With my love to my brother and kind regards to you, I will say good night, his sister, Kate. November 23, 1915. I am here, St. John, Apostle of Jesus. I want to tell you tonight about the things that spirits who have not received the divine love of the Father do, or have done to them, as you may say, in order to get out of their darkness and suffering and progress to a happier condition. Well, when these spirits of evil or sinful life first come into the spirit world, they enter what is called the earth plane, And when I say the earth plane, I mean those spheres which are nearest the earth and partake very largely of the material. They are received by their friends who may have been with them at the time of their passing, and are, to a certain extent, comforted and made familiar with their surroundings. This may last for a shorter or longer time according as the spirit is capable of understanding his changed condition from mortal 267, to spirit. After this condition of consciousness is assumed by the spirit, these friends leave him, and some guiding spirit, whose duty it is to perform the task, shows or conducts him to the place or plane which he is fitted to occupy, and which by the workings of the law of equalization, he must occupy. In this place he is surrounded by and must associate with spirits of a similar condition of development as his own, until some change comes to him which fits him for a higher place. Of course, this change may come in a short time, or it may require a longer time to bring it about, all this depending upon the realization by the spirit as to what his condition is, and the fact that there is a possibility of progressing. Of himself he cannot bring about this change, for the law which fixes his place or condition does not cease to operate until there is called into operation another law which permits and helps the change. The only way in which this changed condition can be brought about is by the influences of other spirits of a more enlightened and higher position than that of the spirit whose position I have spoken of. These influences do not necessarily come from spirits who have received the new birth, but may come from spirits who know nothing about it, and who have only the natural love, and even they may not necessarily be of a high order of development of either intellect or soul. But they must be in such condition that they know and are able to tell the lower spirit of the possibility of progress and the way in which it can be made. Many spirits, who are themselves in a dark position or condition, can help others who are in a darker condition, just as on earth a student of a lower class in school may not be able to teach all that is taught or may be learned in that school, yet he can teach those in a lower class than his own, things that he has learned in progressing to his own class. All spirits have a work to do, and these spirits of little development are engaged in teaching those of lesser development the way to get in the same condition as those who teach are in. But of course these latter cannot teach anything that belongs to a higher condition than the one in which they are. In such cases the progress is very slow for many reasons, and it sometimes takes centuries for a spirit to progress from this very low plane to a higher one where only the lowest grade of happiness exists. So you see that in order to help these dark spirits, it is not necessary for the helping spirit to, the Paget Messages 1915, be one who has in his soul the divine love. But all this means that the spirit who is helped in this way cannot possibly progress higher than its natural love and moral conscience and intellectual endowments will permit, no progression of the soul to a realization of the divine love of the Father, or to the celestial spheres. This is important for you and all mankind to know, for the reason that you and others may learn what the true soul development means, and how effectively spirits possessing this soul development may help all other spirits, good or bad. Aside from this, you may suppose that the spirits who hear you talk at the seances, where all kinds and conditions of spirits congregate, and promise to help both mortals and spirits, may not be able to do so because some are in a dark and low condition themselves. Yet all spirits may help other spirits, to some extent, who are in a lower condition, and sometimes in the beginning of the progression, more satisfactorily than can the higher spirits, because these dark spirits who try to help the darker spirits are more in harmony with them, and the darker spirits will listen to them with more interest and belief that they can help them. But this is a help that does not work in such a way as to cause the spirits who are so helped to lose their desires and recollections very rapidly and to progress into the higher planes, without the great suffering that you have been told of. I thought I would write this to you, for the reason that you might not in your investigations and teachings of the spirit life, give due importance to the possibility of one dark spirit helping another. All the phases of mediumship, when honestly conducted, have their proper places and work in God's plan of redemption, and none of them must be considered as useless or without special design. Of course, the above-mentioned phase of assistance to spirits is of the lowest form and is merely preliminary to the great work which the higher spirits do in carrying out the great plan of redemption, which has been explained to you. The important work is that of the spirits who know what the divine love of the Father is, and what fits spirits and mortals for the enjoyment of the great happiness which obtains only in the celestial spheres, and also in the soul spheres, to a lesser extent.